Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Dan Richardson. If anyone who's been listening to our stuff for a while would probably be aware of Dan from a previous – he's a previous transformation winner. This time Dan placed fourth in our open contest, and it was impressive because you improved your look from last time, significantly improved your look from last time. You're leaner and more muscular, so it was kind of – that's the whole thing, right? Like building muscle and losing fat. So your look just continues to improve. And so anyone who's listening on iTunes, definitely go to Adonis Index to check out his pictures. And if you can, go back through and check out his older pictures to now. Your rear double bicep is probably one of the best I've seen. And your shoulders just get super lean. I actually had a bodybuilder, a friend of mine who's a bodybuilder and a coach, look through the – help me pick the winners and he was most impressed with how lean your arms and shoulders just get shredded. Like some people just can't do that. Like I know my arms just can never be that lean. I don't know why. I just have fat arms or something. but your arms get shredded, dude. So now that's congratulations. You look at me. Your pictures are great, and that's awesome. I don't know what'd you think this time around when you saw your final look.
Yeah, I was pretty happy that I made a few decisions at the end to stop working out the final week and just focus on my food and just get ready for that photo shoot. And I didn't really know what to expect. I was going to get a professional photo shoot, but then I decided I may or may not save it. If I could place in the open, then I would maybe use it in level two, but who knows. So I didn't really know what to expect, but I think looking at the photos, I was pretty happy. I think in the first transformation, I had one guy comment that I looked like I had AIDS in the first in the first one. I mean, I was so dead. I was tired. I was wasted. And I had also pulled off a three-day fast, which I didn't do this time. So I went into my photos last time in AT3 just totally depleted and looked like I was ready to fall over, and I felt like it. So this one I was more comfortable, knew a little bit more what to do, what was expected. And I mean, I was happy. Obviously I'm happy, but I also see that it's going to take a long time for me to achieve. I was telling someone in the forums the other day, I put my limit at about four by the time I'm 40. So I got about 7 years left to hit my goal, true golden, because it took me a year to put a half an inch on my shoulders from AT3 to AT6. So, but I think just looking at it, you can see the difference even just that half an inch makes. So,
yeah, there's more muscle here and you're leaner. Like it shows in this second round of picks. So, okay. So you've got there's a growing group of people who will be going down this sort of transform and then move forward and do more and try to learn what maintenance is path. So you're one of the few people you're kind of further ahead than most in that because you're sort of this far in and you've got two contests under your belt and you've got a chunk of time in between competing to try to sort out maintenance and go through the feelings of what that's like. And you and I talked about the sine wave and shortening the sine wave and shortening the swings, the up and downs of body weight. So can you walk us, and I know you said you don't necessarily remember all of it. Can you walk us through what it was like after, the time between the last contest and this one and some of, I guess maintenance itself is a bit of a struggle.
Well, I had an ideal view of what this was going to look like. I mean, when did I start this? I mean, I won the burn category in, what was that, May of 2010. And then I won the overall transformation in 2010. So, I mean, at the end of AT3, that was the conclusion of my weight loss. I had lost 101 pounds. That's what I was pushing for. And I managed to hit it. And I think that was probably part of the problem is I had this number in mind and I got too caught up in trying to achieve this kind of
the 100 pounds. You mean?
Yeah, the 101. I wanted 101 pounds. Oh, I don't know why. So I pushed myself extremely hard that contest. I dropped 32 pounds in 12 weeks from, what did I go? I went from, I think, 172 down to 141. And, I mean, I had pushed myself so hard. And by the end, so that was 16 months it took me to lose 101 pounds. And I was just wasted. So essentially, I had been going for 16 months on a deficit, cutting as hard as I could, sometimes with the contest cutting even harder than others. And I thought once I arrived, which is a total joke, but I thought once I arrived that I would just be able to maintain that weight. I'd be set. And I mean, I did notice huge differences. I noticed the differences that people were, how they were looking at me different, treating me. My view of the world was different. I was more confident. I felt like I could command respect. I mean, we talk about this in the forums in the Adonis Index, just with, just what the Adonis Index does for you. And I felt that, and I thought I'd just be able to maintain it. I just didn't realize, like what you talked about, the sine wave, that it was going to continue. Jason Gottlieb and I have talked about this on the blogs a bit, just how you never stop cutting, like it just never stops. If you think you're done by the time you arrive, quote unquote, you're totally screwed. So I felt like I was going to take a break, I was going to take a week off, which this contest I didn't do. I learned from this time. I took the week off before the contest ended this time. Last time I worked out the final week. I fasted for 3 days the final week. I cut tons of food out the final week, cut water out the final week. I mean, I just went hardcore, and I tasted, I knew that I could win. I had posted my intentions, and I was like, that's it, I'm going to do this, and ended up pulling it off. But so that final week, I decided I'm going to eat whatever I want. First meal was McDonald's, which was absolutely disgusting, but glorious all at the same time. And that just turned into a week of pure gluttony, eating whatever I wanted. And by the time New Year's rolled around, I remember weighing in, and this was probably water and food and everything. I was about 15 to 20 pounds up already. And I thought, this is no problem, because in that time period in December, I was so on top of the world. I was ecstatic. I was stoked. I decided I was going to start my own coaching, online coaching business. And so, I mean, I was so wrapped up in that, wanting to help people and figuring out the internet marketing side of things, that it just seemed like I felt like I was a little bit indestructible, but that started to creep up on me quickly. And now, granted, over this last year, I never really got over the 15 to 20 pound mark from my contest. So with a water cut, I probably would have ended without the water cut at 145. Mm-hmm. I probably hung out around 160 to 165, or 160 to 170 even some days, or some weeks it was up there. Just trying to figure out how to control these urges that I seem to get. There's other guys on the forums that talk about this, where it's like this almost gorging. And for me, it's kind of the party weekend type idea, where instead of going out and getting absolutely smashed, I'm just stuffing my face and trying to recover from my coma for the following week. And it just felt like I was, for this last year, I was trying to navigate that, trying to figure out how this was going to work. And I felt a little bit ashamed, a little bit embarrassed. So I unplugged a little bit from the Adonis community. That proved to be quite, or not a good thing at all, because I just didn't have anyone holding me accountable. And, in April, or was it, no, it was March of this year, I had a friend who came to me, and he's like, dude, you need someone to kick your butt and hold you accountable. So we did our own little contest where I owed him $100 each week if I didn't drop half an inch, and put a little bit of pressure on me. And I hit that, but it was like another little contest. So we ended in May, went to Seattle for a little celebration for her anniversary, and ended up gorging again. It's just this weird thing where there's a few different times throughout the year where I would have about a 5 to 6 day stretch where I would just eat to complete capacity, which for me isn't full. It's either throw up or go to bed. That's how I view it. And those times I would easily pack on like 10 pounds. I don't know what it is about my body, but I seem to be able to put on weight so fast. Like some of the guys on the forums talk about eating whatever you want. I've just had to figure out and learn that eating whatever I want isn't always the best thing for me because there's no limit. There's no cap. It just continues until I get a handle on it. And so it was those weeks, there was about 3 or 4 of them that they would just kind of bring me back up. And then I'd spend the next couple of months cutting back down and learning how to navigate these things. I think one of the things that I made a mistake with, and some of the other guys do this, which is great for them, but it didn't work for me, which was to stop weighing myself. And I thought, okay, I'm going to stop weighing myself, and instead I'm just going to measure. Because obviously your weight isn't really the metric you're after. It's the waist measurement and your shoulders. But for some reason, like I could take my waist up to 32.5, and that was really my cap, when really I finished the contest at 28.5, I think. So I mean that's only a number, and like I don't, maybe it's the way I think, but only a number difference of 4. So I'm like, it's just 4 inches, big deal. Where in reality, in pounds, we're talking 15 to 20. That to me holds me accountable more. And so once I started learning that, okay, there's a weight range that I need to be weighing myself and staying within. That's when I started learning that, okay, now I can stay here. If I go above it, I got to get back under. And I mean, for some guys, they don't weigh at all, really. For me, it's that weight. And part of it too is I know that I'm not going to pack on 20 pounds of muscle. So it's not really that big of a deal.
It's not like it's confounded by the fact that you've built 50 pounds of muscle.
Exactly. Like, well, there's a guy at the gym this morning. He's like, I lost 3 pounds, and he was all sad. And I told him, I said, I assure you, you did not lose 3 pounds of muscle. And he's also come in a couple times. So I put on I gained 2 pounds, and I asked him, like, are you sure that's muscle? And he's just like, I don't know, but it's 2 pounds. I'm like, wow. All right, whatever. But.
Well, and you know, the interesting thing is you're discovering you have new type of eating habits or cravings. Yeah. Well, and I talked to a few people, and I don't know if you listen to the podcast about fat being an endocrine organ, but it is.
Yeah.
So the fat on your body is sending feedback signals to your brain and all over your body, and it's interacting with your system.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be a different person and have different food reactions and cravings and a different sort of reaction in general to your eating patterns, and not when you're at the body fat you are now versus when you had 100 pounds on you. Like, it's just different. It's different.
Yeah. Well,
because now it's back then you had 100 pounds of a different kind of and different level of fat communicating with your body and your brain. Now you have way 100 pounds less fat communicating with your body. It's actually – you have to view that as different. And I think – I don't know if that you listened to that podcast or if that made any sense to you, but there's definitely a new dialogue going on between your body and your fat. And now you're experiencing what those, you know what I mean? Like now it's different, and now it's almost like you got to relearn what it's like to be this lean and eating.
Yeah. Well, and I think for me, I've said this in the forums too, that I seem to be extreme. I'm one way or the other. And I was nervous going into AT6 just to see what would happen afterwards. because I didn't want to go hardcore and then crash again. And,
well, you mean like right now as we're speaking?
Yeah, well, I thought like I didn't want at the beginning of AT6, I was scared because I didn't want where I'm at right now. I didn't want to be in the same place I was last time where I'm putting on 15 to 20 pounds and of fat. I'm not talking water, but like 15 pounds of fat is a lot. I didn't want to go that in that direction. And so learning how to not let myself get right out of control. Counting calories for me is huge. Some guys don't do it. They don't like it. I guess I'm a control freak. I like to know exactly what it is. As soon as I stop, that's when I find, as soon as I stop, like on a weekend or whatever, I'm going to eat whatever I want. I could eat 10,000 calories in a day so easy. And some people think, oh, you're overshooting. I'm like, no, my friends laugh at me, even the ones that like to eat, because it's just one of those things that is in me. And I think like talking about the different types of fat too and how that works, the other side of it too is when I was 100 pounds heavier, I didn't restrict myself from anything. I ate whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And so I didn't eat in large quantities. I didn't have this issue where I would just peg out on a Friday night because I had already eaten all this stuff during the week. I wasn't trying to lose weight. I wasn't trying anything. I just lived, you know, without any conscious thought. Now I'm consciously on I'm trying from Sunday to Thursday to consciously just reduce to eat maintenance at a lower, basically at a lower level. So my average would be about 1600 a day. But like during the week, I'll eat maybe 800 to 1,000 a day. And then on the weekends, I'll bank that, save it like what you talk about in the Anything Goes diet, saving for the weekend or preparing because I know it's going to be bigger on those days. And so I just find that now that the lifestyle is a little bit different. Balance, it's hard. It's a different kind of balance now, I guess. I don't even know if balance exists. I think it's more just learning a new type of tension, this kind of weird interplay between, for me, it's the weekdays versus the weekends, trying to control my weekends. Like even at the end of the contest, I was telling everyone as I updated my blog that it comes down to if I can master the weekend, I can easily drop 5 pounds over a period of 2 weeks, but I have to be able to get that in between section, those 2 days, master those 2 days. And so, yeah, the different interplay with the type of fat that I have, but also even psychologically learning how to navigate this new lifestyle has been a big shift and a big change. I just don't think a lot of guys expect, they don't see it coming. And I don't even know, like hearing this, some guys might say, okay, now I know, but you don't really know until you go through it. I was scared. I freaked myself out. I'm like, I am not going back to 250 pounds. It's just,
well,
not,
you didn't. And,
no,
and
I
it's
didn't.
Like what, and it's like what you said, even between all the contests, would you gain 20 pounds? Like you were 100, you lost 100 and you rebounded 20. I'll take that any day. Well, Anybody with 100 pounds to lose will be like, okay, so that's just a smashing success. Like, that's as good. Are you kidding me?
Well, exactly.
100 for 20, and now your next round of picks, you've gained muscle, you got a full-on six-pack. Like, I mean, part of that sine wave theory, and I really like what you said, the idea that there's not balance, but it's a new kind of tension.
Yeah.
So it's a tension between you and your diet or you and the food environment versus balance. I like that. It's a different tension, and that's – I feel it the same way you feel it, and I get what you're saying, and the tension, I like that framing. I've never heard it until you said it that way, but I like that. But what you said is, the rebound is normal. Like you admit, because you guys are going pretty hard for these contests, and the quote rebound isn't something to be beat yourself up or be ashamed of. It's just what it is. We like to call it the Nike swoosh, right? So at the, So you drop hard at the bottom of the swoosh is the end of the contest, and then you slowly come back up to some new maintenance level. And the sine wave of the ups and downs of your body weight and how long it takes, is a smaller wave inside a much bigger wave, which is your emotions around those fluctuations. So if you go up 10 pounds, you feel like you went up 100.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, so the perception is an even bigger pendulum swing than what's actually going on.
Yeah.
So I think part of maintenance is shrinking the actual body weight change, but also shrinking your emotional reaction to what's going on. Because like you said, in this past year and a half, you didn't put the 100 pounds back on. You fluctuated 15, 20-ish.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would be down and up. I dropped down to 158, 155, and then I spring back up. So yeah, it was, and I guess that is in essence maintenance. I think for me, it was just learning that I'm not happy at that level of maintenance, but it took me a year to get through that. And now I just feel different this time around. That's weird. It's just this learning process. And I think that the transformation community is super important for that, because it helps you just process it. You got all these other guys that are in the same boat as you, some further along, others not, but you all get to learn from each other, hold each other accountable, remind you that you're not going out of your mind, that you're all quite similar. And I think that was just a big part of it. I think your guys' last podcast in the Uncensored podcast, where you're talking about that diet research, those guys that lost all that weight and then put a little bit on, and everyone's talking about how it's negative that they put weight on, but they didn't put as much on as they had lost. So in the end, over the course of a year, that's a win. And I mean, for me, I'm in small clothes now. I can't go any smaller than I am. So now I just have to put muscle on, because if I drop too much more fat, I'm going to be in the kid section. But I put myself in small clothes, and that was my cap. I mean, I was not prepared to go out and buy mediums. I got over that in my head, this idea that, oh, I wear smalls, so that means I'm a small guy and inferior or whatever. I don't care. I mean, I know that in small clothes I look good. I look big compared to other guys and whatever. Mm-hmm. But when those started getting tight, I was like, okay, this is stupid. This is a joke. When you got to unbutton your jeans, it's either you've got an option. You either go out and buy fat jeans, mediums, or 32-inch waist instead of 30, or you just cut back down. And that's kind of what I did. And that's what I tell a lot of people, is that you have to get rid of that stuff. I mean, I've lost weight in the past, but I stayed in the clothes that I was wearing before, and I just grew back into them. It gave me room to grow, I guess. This time I was like,
no, you're not even affording yourself the room to grow by ditching all the big clothes.
Well, exactly. It cost me a fortune. I mean, I had to do it a couple times. My wife and I both ditched. This was last year. We ditched probably like $1,000 to $2,000 worth of clothes, this mound. And we just said, you know what, this is our old lifestyle, this is it. We're done.
I mean, and you could progress to a medium shirt if your shoulders and chest and back dictate, but not your waist.
Oh, sure. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and when that happens, I'll happily move up. At this point, though, it's just, I'm still drowning in them, so it's not worth it.
Well, I wear mediums, and I don't look good in larges. And depending what the brand is, every now and then a small fits me best.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm pretty sure, or at least I don't find any reason to wear. And you know, in some brands, a large fits. But so I'm anywhere between a small, medium, or a large, depending on the cut and the brand. But I wouldn't go out of my way to wear. I mean, I don't actually care. I put the shirt on, and then afterwards, I look at the size, and I'm almost always a medium, and rarely a large in anything. And larges typically hang on me a bit, and then you look stupid. It just doesn't look right.
I still can't believe how many people are actually obsessing over that label, the label in the shirt, small, medium, or large. It's the same thing with the guys at the gym. I was just there on the weekend, and I was just doing recovery cardio, I'll call it, from Friday night. And I was just watching everyone. My wife was there with me, and I was just watching all these guys doing these crazy exercises, doing shoulder presses from behind the neck, from your shoulders, pressing up two plates aside or whatever, and then you can see them rubbing their shoulders after because it hurts, and these dudes that are just trying to lift as much as they possibly can because bigger is still better. And what was funny with this contest is I did not get as much, hardly at all this time, any blowback from anyone about losing weight, because obviously I didn't lose 30 pounds, 32 pounds in 3 months, so it wasn't as crazy. I was pretty close this time.
In clothes, you probably didn't look any different, right?
You know, exactly. What everyone can see is my face. I definitely get more chiseled. I mean, I can even feel it when I'm shaving my jaw and cheekbones. Some guys, it doesn't happen. Actually, one of your podcasts, you're like, some guys look like Skeletor. I'm like, oh, crap. Am I going to look like Skeletor? Brutal. But, I mean, I definitely noticed the change. And so people are like, oh, you're dying, whatever. My parents noticed. But, I mean, they know that I'm not going to stay at that level forever. But what's funny is how many people commented this time that said they didn't know I had all that underneath my shirt. Because I this time I posted my pictures on my business Facebook page or whatever, and they went around and everyone was just freaking out because they didn't know that that's what I looked like or whatever. It's a little awkward because all my friends were seeing them. But
it's hidden. It's hidden under your shirt. Yeah. Like I remember when I did my last photo shoot and the pics were up on Facebook and a few guys at our gym saw it. And then one of the other guys at the gym who helped me with them, he kind of helped me with posing and stuff. And then a couple guys at the gym were like, that guy goes to our gym? And they're like, which guy is it? And they didn't know it was – they couldn't pick me in the crowd. Because with a shirt on, it's like, yeah, okay, lots of guys have vascular-looking forearms or lean arms, but you can't – you don't know under the shirt what someone actually looks like. You just get a rough idea of their shape.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the guy had no idea. He couldn't find me in the gym at all from my from my pics. So and that's what – so my other guy was like, can you guess? And he's like, he couldn't guess.
That's funny.
And that's kind of like how it'll be when you're – not 250 pounds, but you're lean, but you're just, you know, you have a shirt on. No one actually can tell.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, so you're, would you even say that maintenance is maybe just as challenging as the, or just a different kind of challenge? Like you said, a different tension. It's its own thing, right?
Yeah, I just what you said about the sine wave is exactly where I'm at now. It's just it's learning to cut it off by the end. Like I finished, I know how I operate, and I know that on the weekends it's going to be tough to cut back. So I knew that if I finished this contest midweek or I finished on a Monday, that I was going to spend that whole week gorging myself. I know that come Monday, I can rein it in and I can not gorge. It's just one of those things that in my mind, it just shuts off. The eating monster goes back to sleep. So I decided, you know what? I need to end this contest on Friday, give myself Friday, Saturday, more than likely it turned into Sunday just to eat, enjoy myself. And then Monday I'm back at it. I was back at the gym, back cutting back down again, which before wasn't even in my head, but I just had to keep that sine wave down. I just had to, I took my week long break before the end of the contest so I could just get back into it. And before it was like, all right, let's give it a week. Probably it spread out. Well, I think it spread out the whole month. I basically just ate whatever I wanted and it just came back to haunt me. Mm-hmm. And, so yeah, now it's, yeah, I guess a different kind of tension.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay. So that's interesting. So, and as far as how you went through this contest, give us the Coles Notes, the short version. Which program did you follow?
I did ATS, and the first 4 weeks were absolute hell, just with the different tempos and stuff. And I ended up, I wish that I didn't have to do it like this, but I'm focusing on my legs more with MBF right now. But towards the end, the last half, I started skipping the leg portion because I needed the cardio to keep amping things up and keep cutting down. I hate doing cardio, but it just turned into one of those necessary things. And so I skipped the legs, but the ATS was great, and it was definitely intense. But I guess the way that I've learned that I don't do 24-hour fasts, really. I usually do 16 to 20-hour fasts almost every day. I've learned that eating breakfast for me is just out any day of the week. Anytime I eat breakfast, I know that whole day is shot. It just opens up the door to eat. And that's...
Did you listen to our breakfast podcast? That's basically what the research says, is that if you eat breakfast, on average, people who ate breakfast versus not, they just ended up eating more.
Well, exactly. And I just find that so crazy how they say eat breakfast, it's the most important, and it fires up your metabolism. And I don't know whether it's my metabolism or what, or the food's digesting and my hunger pangs are setting in quicker. And so it's like, oh, now I got to eat. I feel hungry. Exactly.
Fires up your metabolism. It fires up your hunger.
Well, exactly. And every 2 to 3 hours, just so you eat every 2 to 3 hours. And I know for me, and I would be one of those, most likely, like so many other people, eating every 2 to 3 hours. By the end of the day, your last 2 or 3 meals, you're overeating, and you're eating over what you're allotted. So I find what I find, and it just seems to be natural to me, is I stop eating at about in between 6 to 7, and I start eating again between 12 to 2. So maybe I'll push a 24-hour if I'm super busy during the week and not thinking about it, but by the time 1 or 2 hits, I can feel it, and I'm starting to get a little bit grouchy, and it's just better for me to eat. I don't know what the G8, the HGH or whatever being released into my system. I don't know if that would make a huge difference. Maybe it would be better, but I just find that this has been something that worked for me. So almost every day throughout this contest, that's what I would do, is 16 to 20-hour fasts overnight, and then skipping breakfast in the morning. Try to do that on the weekends. If I'm trying to rein in my weekends too, I have to. That's just kind of what has worked for me. I think some guys just give up on fasting altogether because they can't do 24 hours, so they feel like they're getting ripped off. But I think over and above, and we've said this before, over and above the growth hormone being released into your system, the main point is caloric reduction.
So, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you can get away with just eating every meal and eating low calorie all day, more power to you. But if you find that you're overeating every day because you're eating every meal because you feel like you're defeated because you can't hit 24 hours every day, well, you need to just adjust it and make it work for you, whatever works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like it's lost if you don't achieve 24 hours. That's where we start with a way to introduce people to it. But again, it's like infinitely modifiable. Like if it's like your system works for you, so mm-hmm. you can't say it doesn't work. It clearly works. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then like you said, you took it a lot easier at the end. You didn't go nuts.
Yeah, and that was a psychological thing all on its own. I mean, you start thinking, oh man, what's going to happen to my muscle? All this stupid stuff. Like my last day I worked out was the Friday before, and here I am thinking, oh, I'm not going to be as pumped, I'm not going to be as ripped. I mean, I have my little ritual that I did, and I mean, it all turned out. I did find that my pre-pump workout for the photo shoot, I was absolutely wasted. I could hardly do it. I wish I could have gotten a little more pumped than I was, but I just took it easy, and that was a huge benefit to me, just being able to relax and not stress out. I do find when I do too high intensity of cardio, my hunger kicks in, and if I'm already depleted, my glycogen stores, my water, it's like, what a waste of time that would be just to go, just for the sake of going. So I just focused all my mental energy just on getting to the end without crashing. Yeah, I mean,
what did you do for cardio?
Most of the time I would just do steady state for 30 minutes to maybe an hour. If I was feeling it, I'd have to feel it. Like, if I'm not feeling it, I'll just do half an hour. But sometimes I'd push it to an hour, and I'd stick it on an incline at a lower pace, like 3 to 3.5, an incline of 5. And just really all I was trying to do was increase my caloric reduction. At the beginning, I started doing the cardio so that I could have a protein shake. Mm-hmm. What I found though is if I'm trying to cut too hard, the last mm-hmm. thing I want to eat is a protein shake. And for me, my sanity is more important than that shake is. So, I mean, what sucks is I probably hit maybe 50 grams, even less than that, a day of protein.
The whole way through or just at the end?
To be honest, I'd probably say the whole way through. This year is my focus is on protein. I mean, I want to, by the end of level two, I'm trying to pack on another half an inch if I can. I don't know if that's possible, but I'm just going to see. And I keep saying that, so now it's time for me to prove that I can actually hit 100 grams of protein a day. Without flaking out. It's not, to me, it's not easy, especially when you're not eating 1600 every day. That's my average. I'm eating 800 to 1100 calories a day during the week and then really high on the weekends. Maybe it's not the best model. I need to relook at that. But I mean, when you have a shake or two and you're looking at 120 to 240 calories, I'm like, man, I'd rather eat something good. Who cares?
Yeah, it's a bit of a trick when you stop and look at it. You're like, gee, I don't have very many calories to play with here. How am I supposed to do this, right? And that's why bodybuilders arrive at basically a high protein, low everything else diet, because when you fix the amount of protein calories you're going to take in, but then you also pay attention to how many total calories. All you have left is protein and a little bit of vegetables. It's like,
I know. And I just, you know what I mean? Can't do that.
Yeah.
I need to establish a rut. Like I just have to, I basically ate the same thing every day. I was eating lunch. For lunch, I'd eat vegetables. For dinner, I try to cut out carbs. A snack before dinner would be like an apple. And then after I'd have like everyone on the forums knows I'm a peanut butter freak. So I'd have a 100 calorie fiber one peanut butter bar for dessert almost every weeknight. And, we'd have like chicken and vegetables for dinner. And usually I could make it through. So we're talking like, even in that cutting stage, 600 to 800 a day, which is really insane for a lot of people. Once you're in that groove, it just kind of clicks, makes sense. You just do it. However, the one thing that did suffer was the protein. So, I mean, even though I look bigger in these pictures from the previous ones, which I was, I think I can still get bigger if I do focus, even though I know protein's not the miracle drug.
But you still probably need a bit more of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, well, that's good. What do you I guess we're kind of towards the end here. What do you have what's your take-home advice for people who are this far in who've maybe done a contest or even if they haven't done a contest, they've actually achieved some kind of change and now they're dealing with the new body and, like, you know, expectations. I know we've already talked, but do you have any take-home messages?
Well, I think the most important thing that it's been for me to discover over this last year is I need to have a deep and convicting why. Like, it can't be just to make other people happy or to prove myself to other people, to prove that I can be ripped or to get respect, because it's just like, to me, it's just like a new car. Once you arrive at that, everyone just gets used to it. I mean, over the course of the year, this last year, no one really said anything to me about being skinny. Like all these guys that are going through that right now, it goes away. People don't care anymore. They really don't care. So it has to be, to me, it has to be about something far deeper that you really want. And it can't be based off of other people about their respect or whatever, because you just get used to it. They treat you different at first, but that different becomes normal, becomes everyday life. And so whether it's your health, or for me, it has to be about something, I need to stay in shape to do something else. So like during winter, it's snowboarding. Like snowboarding at 250 pounds sucks compared to going riding at 150, or doing downhill mountain biking or whatever it is, like to establish a new lifestyle that requires you to stay in that shape and that it be about what you want. Whether it's to stay around for your kids or to be able to play with your grandkids or whatever, and to write that down, remind yourself of why you're doing it. And I just think it's dangerous. And I think that was part of my motivation, proving to people the 101 pounds, I did it, look at me. And people are like, yippee, for the first little while it goes away. And all of a sudden it's like, all right, let's get back to eating. And so I think that's one thing. I think the other thing too is to realize that it's never over. You're never going to be able to stop. You're never going to be able to let up. So if you feel like you're getting burnt out, then I would say pull back a bit so that you can maintain it for your whole life. We've seen it where some guys just drop right off the spectrum because they go way too hard and they do crazy things, and then they're not there anymore, wondering where they are, and it's, you just get burnt out. The reaction isn't what they expected, or they didn't get the results or the praise that they felt they deserved or whatever, and it's a tough thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean those are probably the two most important things. And you see some of the guys too that with realizing that the fight isn't over, I mean, they might slip back, they might struggle with it, they might be trying to figure out how to make lifting and dieting work in their life. I use dieting loosely, just this new lifestyle, making it work in their life. And they keep coming back, and they keep fighting. The minute you stop fighting is the minute it's over. I mean, you're
back to who you were, but way before.
Yeah, exactly. And do you really want to go there? I would. Oh man. I mean, I can see why. If you gain the weight back, exactly the amount of weight that you gain back, I can see why you would keep eating. I mean, you see some of these Biggest Loser contestants afterwards, you can predict some of them are just going to go back and pig out. Like, who has the time to work out 6 to 8 hours a day eating 1,000 calories a day? It's just ridiculous. You know that.
Oh, you mean the pattern they're on is actually setting them up for failure?
For some of them. And you've seen some of them have. Some of them have put all the weight back on. And it's just not a realistic lifestyle. And, you just have to realize that it's not over. And if you feel like you're going to burn out and fall off, then pull back a bit so that you can keep going. Do something. Just keep it going.
Well, I like what you said. You have to find other reasons why.
Yeah.
It can't just be the look at me, I did it. It's that the contest or the transformation, like the beginning, that's all it is. It's the beginning of the rest of your life. It isn't the rest of your life. It's just the beginning.
Yeah. Well, and if you're trying to get shredded to make other people happy, the one thing I've realized in life is that other people, and it's a sad reality, and maybe it's a little bit pessimistic, but the fact is that most people do not care. They just really don't. They're jealous. It makes them insecure about themselves. They don't want to see you.
You know what? They're sitting there waiting for you to rebound just so they could see I told you.
Well, exactly. Because you being ripped like that isn't, they don't want to hang out with you so that they can say they have a ripped friend. They don't want to hang out with you because they have a ripped friend and it makes them feel insecure. And so you just can't do it to make other people happy with you, because they might give you a few platitudes here and there and say, wow, good job. But in reality, they're saying, oh, they'll come up with everything. Oh, he's conceited now. He's whatever. And it's a hard thing to learn how to be humble with it and just almost pretend like nothing has happened, but just let it propel you to become a better person. But yeah, something deeper than that has to be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think that's a good place to leave it. What do you think?
Yep, sounds good.
All right, well, thanks for being on the call, Dan, and congrats on the contest.
Yeah, thanks. Looking forward to the next one.
All right, so for Dan Richardson, I'm John Barbin, and that's the Adonis Index Podcast.